Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Giving Your Words, the life-giving power of a verbal home for family faith formation by Sally Clarkson and Clay Clarkson. Narrated by Lisa Larson. Foreword. Of the many lessons I've learned from Sally and Clay Clarkson over the years, the single most poignant bit of wisdom I've gleaned is this. In a world wrought with worry, aching for truth, and full of so many things we cannot control, the place where we can make the biggest impact for good is within the four walls of our homes. What a beautiful, grace-filled concept for a busy, often overwhelmed perfectionist mama to hear. Even and especially as it sits contrary to what our busy, fast-paced world is telling us. There is often so much to do outside our homes that we forget the power we have within them. Home matters on a deeply spiritual and powerful level. It is there that bellies are nourished, spirits are soothed, and hearts are shaped. Home is where we are welcomed with a hug, a warm meal, a place on the sofa, and a listening ear. Home is where we can be truly known, where we can stop pretending and take off the cloaks of whoever we are trying to be outside those walls. Home is a sacred, special, spiritual place. Giving Your Words digs even deeper into this concept, exploring the power of our words, of stories, questions, truth, encouragement, and so much more. In the chapters of this book, we are reminded that while grand achievements and mountains moved are wonderful, it is imperative to turn our eyes toward that which may seem so simple, but is so important. Our time spent in conversation with our children. As a mom to three spunky, spirited children, I have seen the beauty that happens when we make space for bedtime conversations. Little hearts pouring out worries as they drift off to sleep. I've experienced the power of a question passed around the dinner table over bowls of spaghetti. What interests you and makes you curious these days? Answers pouring out from Triceratops to tea parties to Toni Morrison, hearts ablaze. I've held sweaty preteen hands and listened as tender prayers are offered, God's ear bent toward us. From fairy tales to future plans, words have shaped who my own beautiful children are becoming. And it's my hope and prayer that they will take our words with them one day as they leave the nest. All of Sally and Clay's work, but especially this fantastic book, invites us to slow down, turn our eyes and hearts to God, and pay attention to the power our words have. I often think of the words we share with our children at any age as little nuggets of wisdom they carry with them in their proverbial pockets. These words, reminders of their worth, of God's love for them, of our love for them, of what's most important in life, are with them wherever they go, through great experiences and hard ones. They're with them as they make decisions, as they experience hurt, and as they make sense of the world around them. What a beautiful thing to have to carry through the world with you. To Sally and Clay, thank you for sharing your hearts and experiences with me and so many others. Giving Your Words is a treasure of a book that will shape the lives and homes of so many families over the coming years. To the mothers and fathers who have started this book, you are doing a good job. Keep seeking truth and keep pouring it out. With love, Emily Lay. Preface. Sally Clarkson. My mother was not deeply theological, but her simple trust in God was personal and real. I still remember one special Christmas when I was about 9 years old. She and I were sitting on the couch by our towering Christmas tree, aglow with white lights and colorful shiny baubles adorning every branch. Sipping our hot chocolates, we sat shoulder to shoulder, taking in the magical moment together. Out of the blue, she nudged me, looking very solemnly into my eyes, and said, "One thing is important for you to remember the rest of your life." I sat up straighter, sensing this was a profound moment to her. She said very clearly, "These words have carried me my whole life. If God is for you, who can be against you? Just remember that God is for you, and you will always be able to know there is no circumstance or person who is bigger than him or stronger than him. Say it with me. If God is for me, who can be against me?" And so I did. Then we sat quietly, enjoying the beauty together. But since that time so many years ago, I have believed that God is on my side, that he is for me. Even as I can see my 70th year just ahead, those simple words by the Apostle Paul, see Romans chapter 8, verse 31, God's words, have carried me through many life challenges and will continue to do so. My mother gave me her words, and they have stayed with me my whole life. Words are like food to our hearts, minds, and souls. They have the potential to shape destinies, inspire courage, and instill character. Words can express assurance of love, shape our emotional health, and lay foundations of truth that hold us fast our whole lives. Words have the power to pass on a legacy of faith. Jesus himself was called the Word, or the Message. He was God's message incarnate, the exact representation of his divine nature. Jesus spoke words of divine truth, and his life affirmed the integrity of his words as he lived them out faithfully. Christ became for us a model of what we wanted to do in giving and living our own messages with our children. Recently, Clay and I were sitting on our back deck with the sun setting over the Colorado Rocky Mountains and the fire pit dancing with flames as we sipped cool drinks. It was a perfect moment to revisit the landscape of our 41 years of marriage and 38 years of parenting our four children, now all adults. As we pondered and remembered together, it was the words that stood out to us. We had spent our lives giving our words to our children, the words of Christ, Scripture, and godly wisdom. We invested in them words that would shape their own life stories. Just as my mother's words had for me, we hoped our words would be a lasting legacy to faithfully carry our children into the darkness of this secular world with their own messages of light. During the weeks when Clay was giving this book life and poignancy, I was bundled up in an overstuffed chair, recovering from hip replacement surgery. Many evenings, we sat together and talked about the messages that we had given to our children, the mornings of devotions when we spoke of God's truth, the family discussions while traveling in the car, and the many daily teachable moments in our home. We recalled all our days of life together as we had shaped our children's sense of virtue and character, given bedtime blessings of peace to their hearts, and shared secret bedroom talks that assured them of our love. Looking back, it was like a symphony, with our voices as instruments playing notes in all the different ways that we gave our words. The music we gave would become a whole life legacy, given from our hearts to theirs, that they would carry throughout their lives. The music of our lives and words would be continued in the world around them. Giving words, shaping life messages, building a legacy of unconditional love and wisdom into the hearts, minds, and souls of our children. That all required intentionality, lots of purposeful moments, and a lifetime of speaking life. As parents, we are stewards of the grace of God to the precious ones he has entrusted into our hands. We offer this book to you as a picture of what is possible in forming faith, hope, and love in the children God has placed in your homes. It will happen as you give them your words. And remember, as you seek to offer your words, that God is for you. He is for you and with you as you leave a legacy of faith in your children by giving your words. Introduction. The words of our lives. It was a generational keeper of a photograph. Every Christmas morning for 30-something years, we had come to the Broadmoor Hotel for breakfast and a post-repast session of family photo-taking. Winter had not always been so agreeable in Colorado Springs, but December 25, 2018, offered a stunningly beautiful morning of blue sky, bright sun, and crisp air. It was the Christmas of our 38th year of marriage, appropriately one full generation in the Bible. Our children were grown and living all over the world, and we knew this might be the last time we would all be able to gather this way. The night before, on Christmas Eve, we had enjoyed our traditional shepherd's meal of potato soup, fresh herb bread loaf, cheeses, nuts, and fruits, followed by Clay's reading of the Nativity story. Christmas morning, we had risen early, enjoyed hot chocolate, opened our stockings, a favorite Christmas morning tradition, and then headed off to the Broadmoor for a leisurely breakfast. After a walk around the lake and some candid photos, it was time for the traditional Christmas family photo. We decided to try a new setting, collecting ourselves around a lakeside bench as Nathan posed us, Mom and Dad sitting, kids standing behind us, and Joel set the timer on his iPhone. He hurried back to the bench bunch for the digital countdown, and a moment of memory was captured in a surprisingly good Clarkson family photo. But what was not captured in that Christmas Day image was what has really defined the Clarkson family. Not the visual, but the verbal. Not the images, but the words. Truth be told, we probably all wished there was a camera that could take verbal graphs, capturing all the words of so many spoken moments in our lives. During those 10 days together at the family home and monument, whenever we were all together, it was all together verbal. In the car, at breakfast in the den, at tea times on the deck, in the evening on the front porch, on long walks, at dinner around the table. Wherever we were, there were words. As that Christmas day came to a close, we were all on the backyard deck in a circle of chairs around the new fire pit. With zipped up winter jackets, lap blankets, hot drinks, and the fire pit flames set to high, we sloughed off the encroaching cool of night as the sun slipped behind the mountains. Another family conversation needed to run its course before we would seek warmth inside. All the kids were sharing memories of growing up in the always verbal and word-driven atmosphere of our home. Listening to them talk, it was clear to us as parents that words had not just filled their lives, but formed them, shaping our children into the word-loving adults they had become and were becoming. They fondly remembered the countless dinner table discussions throughout their childhoods and teens. They recalled Sarah's amazing ability to read and remember books, Joel's penchant for long and insightful explanations of theology, Nathan's challenging questions and opinions about life, and Joy's insistence as the youngest on being heard in family discussions. They talked about a life of reading and how books and stories had formed their growing minds. They talked about poems and speeches memorized and recited, our 24 family ways, birthday breakfasts, prayers and readings, and annual family day mornings of remembering. As the sun set, the cold rose, and the conversation drew to a close, there was a brief look at us now moment. They had all become people of words, authors of books, writers of screenplays, crafters of poems, builders of blogs and podcasts, speakers and debaters, performers and actors, postgrad students of imagination, theology, and literature. Finally, the words of that moment slowed to a stop. Everyone knew instinctively it was time to go inside and sit down to a warm meal around one more table of good food and, yes, good words. Later that night, after we thawed out and our grown-up children had all gone to their respective rooms, we reminisced briefly about our own experience as parents with the words that had so formed our lives as a family. We've been talking about parenting and talking as parents for over half our lives. Very early in our marriage, well before children gave us so much more to talk about, we would stay up late, thinking out loud together about what kinds of parents we would be, what our home life would be like, and what our children might become. We plotted and prayed about what kind of life to give them. But as young and intuitive Christian idealists, it was the spiritual kind of life, not the good life of things and experiences, that most occupied our minds. And that would mean giving them our words. Then and now. That was then, of course, when we realized how much our parenting would be about words. And this is now, 40 years later, when all those given words have come alive and are incarnated in the world in our four children. They're all grown up now and still growing with God. And we thank the Lord that our words, or most of them anyway, have worked. They've worked into our children's lives to shape their minds and souls, worked for them to give them faith and wisdom for life, and worked through them as they are making their ways and their own marks in the world for God. It all started in the verbal atmosphere of our home. But those words worked only because we intentionally gave them to our children. Of course, all our words and ideals also became seeds that took root, and in 1994 became Whole Heart Ministries, a family effort to offer biblical help and hope to Christian parents. Since then, in addition to talking about and as parents, we've also been talking to parents in workshops, events, small groups, books, blogs, and podcasts. And now, as we enter the backstretch of that ministry, we're still looking ahead, but we're also gleaning from the past. The simple truths about words that we share in this book are much clearer to us now than they ever could have been in our early days of hazy, idealistic vision casting as not yet parents. Many times, parents at our events would take us aside and ask us quietly with a serious frown, "What is the most important thing I can do so my children will follow God?" Somewhere along the way, we realized that the answer to those "what's your secret" questions was not in any of our clever, compelling, or convicting messages, but was much simpler. It was, in a word, words. We are all reminded every day that we still live in the information age that dawned mid-20th century with the computer. Cloud-based computing, digital connections, and ubiquitous screens ensure its continued exponential growth. For parents, that reality has translated into an endless electronic stream of how-tos, what-to-dos, and best parental practices. We live with the constant drumbeat of temptation to pick a voice out of all the noise and just parent by someone else's formula. And yet, we also know we are called by Scripture to parent by the power of the Holy Spirit, and there is no formula for that. It is a life of faith. Parenting with faith requires a bigger picture of a Christian home, not just as a place to impart information, but to cultivate faith formation and even personal transformation. Without that, anything we say will rarely rise to being the faith-formed and faith-forming gift that God intended words to be. Which brings us back to that word. When we looked back to find the answer to the question that parents had asked us, We discovered one constant factor that stood out across all the years of parenting that had happened in our home. At every point along the way, we had cultivated by faith what we describe now as a verbal home. We filled the atmosphere of our home life with words, and our children breathed them in. We were intentional to ensure that we gave words to our children that would fill their spiritual lungs with the life-giving air of the grace and truth of Jesus and the Spirit and Word of God. It wasn't really a secret of our parenting, but we're confident now that it, the words, was the single most important factor in our parenting. This book is about how to create a verbal home. After all our messages, media, and books about Christian parenting in over 3 decades of ministry, it seems fitting that this book can be like an exclamation mark at the end of a long sentence. Because here's the reality we're realizing. Without the verbal factor, even the best and most Christian parenting advice and wisdom we suggest will be like using low-octane gasoline for a high-octane engine. Giving your faith-formed words to your children is filling their tanks with the best fuel you can give them for running the race that God sets before them. This book is not about us putting words in your mouth, but about you putting words in your children. It's about you, by an act of faith, giving them your words and God's words. Let us be clear, though, how giving your words can help you learn the art of creating a verbal home. We did not set out to write a comprehensive exploration and explanation of the verbal task in parenting. Rather, we mean for giving your words to be more like a primer, a starting place to find some simple suggestions, tools, and tips to help you become a verbal parent who is at home with words. It is a framework to build on, not a formula to follow. We cannot tell you all the words you'll need to give to your children, or all the ways that you can give them those words. Our goal is more focused, to convince you of the life-giving power of a verbal home. What comes next will be up to you. It might be helpful, then, to know what giving your words is not about, and then explain what it is about. First, although we discuss biblical and practical theological insights, this book is not a theology of words. Also, though we may skim the surface of language studies, this book is not about linguistics. Finally, though we exposit numerous biblical terms and scriptures to learn what God's Word says about words, this book is not a Bible study. Here is what giving your words is about. First, this book is about a charge to Christian parents, emerging out of our own parenting experience, biblical convictions, and family ministry. We want to light a fire in your heart to give words in your home the priority God intends for them. Second, this book is about encouraging you to be a disciple so you can make disciples of your children. Paul's words to the Romans about the gospel are no less true when applied in your home to your children. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Chapter 10, verse 17. It is by the words you give to your children that they hear from you, that they will find faith and become Christ's disciples. Finally, this book is about casting a big picture vision for the Christian home. It is about understanding the formative influence of a verbal home on the faith, intellect, and imaginations of your children. Starting the journey to a verbal home. Education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. That pithy quote about learning is typically, and incorrectly, attributed to 19th century Irish poet W.B. Yeats. The misattributed aphorism is certainly memorable, but the original saying from which it was drawn is more likely from first century Greek philosopher Plutarch. For the mind does not require filling like a bottle, but rather, like wood, It only requires kindling to create in it an impulse to think independently and an ardent desire for the truth. Here is Plutarch's point. The mind is not like a bottle, a neutral container that requires only filling up with words to make it useful. Rather, the mind is more like wood, a solid source of stored potential energy ready to be ignited and released. When kindling is lit beneath a log, those smaller fires become a catalyst that sets the larger piece of wood aflame. That burning mind is what Plutarch describes as the impulse to think independently and the ardent desire for the truth. Though we didn't usually quote Greek philosophy to each other, those were qualities we wanted for our children, and we believed that words would be the kindling to ignite their minds to think and to seek truth. The mind Plutarch described, though, is not the empty slate, tabula rasa, of Aristotle, but is rather already prepared and ready to respond. It is the same divinely designed mind assumed and taught in Scripture, a spiritual faculty of our being that is fueled by words to become fuel for words. In some ways, this book is like a conversation about the meaning of Plutarch's words, spoken around the same time that Christianity was spreading through the Mediterranean world and beyond. The Gospel authors were recording the words and story of Jesus. The Apostle Paul was teaching about the Christian mind. And the other inspired writers were giving shape to the language and truths of Christianity. Their flame-kindled words, starting from a tiny movement in a troubled country and time, would fuel the growth of Christianity like a wildfire, burning its truths into every facet of world history for the next 2,000 years, and fueling the growth of Christianity into the largest religion in the history of the world. Words can change the world. As for the words of this book, we view them not just as information to impart, but as a conversation to start. We want to engage your mind with our words, so you will engage the minds of your children with your words. Perhaps you have seen the 1987 anti-drug television commercial that featured a human brain next to overcooked fried eggs. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. We want to change that image, replacing the fried eggs with a roaring campfire, and say, "This is your mind. This is your mind on words." Words will light and fuel those kinds of fires in the minds of your children. Here's the simple path we'll follow in giving your words to explore how to create a verbal home. Chapter 1 will consider what Scripture says about words. Chapters 2 and 3, living words, will consider the kinds of words to give and how you can give them more effectively. Chapters 4 through 9, giving words, will focus on 6 specific kinds of words to give. Chapter 10, life-giving words, will focus on the call to a verbal home. The epilogue is words from each of our children, and our 24 Family Words of Life is a resource to put giving your words into practice. We all nod and agree with the familiar adage, a picture is worth a thousand words. But we'd like to suggest that an exponential inverse of that truth is even more powerful. A word is worth 10,000 pictures. Picture what words can do in the hearts, minds, and souls of your children, and then show them by giving them your words. 1. In the beginning was the words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. The pre-digital era photograph still stirs delightful memories. Smiling young mother holding her bundled newborn on a sunny day in May, ascending the front porch stairs into our little girl's new home. It was our second house in Colorado, unneeded upgrade from this small and
sample complete. Ready to continue?